Welcome to the Spacious Unknowing Network, sunshine for your soul,
with Julio
and Jojo Rose.
We invite you to enter into ecological equanimity in the unified field of spacious unknowing.
We open and awaken to broaden your access to the soul rhythm in all of us.
We engage in the pilgrimage inward to feel the infinite love that beats in the rhythm of our collective soul.
We will guide you to new horizons and infinite love during our Inquire Within segment
to accept that you create your field.
I create my field.
And together, we create the unified field. Spacious Unknowing Network
with Julio
and Jojo Rose
starts now.
Aloha and welcome. You are listening to Spacious Unknowing Network, sunshine for your soul. I'm Jojo Rose, here with Julie O. Rose. Please, Julie.
Oh, it is your turn.
Today, I will be reading excerpts from the book I've been speaking of, My Radical Life in Spacious Unknowing. These are the earlier chapters, and this particular one is part three, which is Fire and Ice. And it's, I'm going to start reading right now. When I was in the park last night, David's mother asked me if we would consider letting David live with us for a while. He hardly got the words out. And, yes, Dad, yes, can we? It would be fun to have David here,
a big brother.
Jay began, and the chorus continued with the same plea from Matthew and,
yes, Dad, please, please.
Jojo. Let Dad and me discuss it. Then we will talk at dinner tomorrow because I have questions for each of you about this. They each nodded their heads. Yes. Gina said her first word. Eat. We laughed. Jay, Matt, and Jojo were gleeful to hear her first word. And we did eat. Later that evening, Benny gave me a clear picture of what David's mother told him. She lived in a small trailer with her husband and had no room for him. David's father was remarried, and his wife didn't like David and didn't want him in their home. Benny and I went over the pros and cons of having him live with us. My concern was that our oldest child, Jay, would feel misplaced by someone older than him living in our home. I dismissed it quickly because of the way Jay had responded at dinner. I knew that I needed to ask each of the children questions. We realized that the best we could do for David was to place a bed in the boys' bedroom and use the bunk beds for Jay and Matt, and a twin bed for David. David had a history of using marijuana. The day after Benny and I spoke, I got a large chart with pictures of marijuana and different drugs with the psychoactive properties of them. I needed to recognize, be consciously aware of what may be happening in our home with David living with us. Also, a couple weeks ago, some young people had moved into the park. Jay and Matthew ran home and burst through the kitchen door. There's hippies living in the park. Who?
What?
Hippies.
Who? What?
Hippies.
Who? What?
Jay and Matthew sat down and said, okay, Mom, two human beings moved into the park. That's much better. There are many labels that are placed on people. No human soul is a label. Each soul is in need of dignity and understanding. A label makes that impossible. They are written off in 1 second by that label and pushed away or drawn close, depending on what the label means to the one pushing away or drawing close. Everyone is affected by the way we see them. Do you want to know how I know this? Jay and Matt both nodded yes. When both of you were very young, Auntie Ro asked me, do you think that Jay will affect Matthew's ability to be a leader? I don't know. I need to watch them at play to see the way they interact. The next morning, both of you were playing, and I did what I told Auntie Ro I would do. Much to my surprise, a shift happened inside of me, and I became aware that I affected the way the two of you were with each other by watching you. Consciousness opened up to show me that the way I see changes what I see to correspond with me in consciousness. I see both of you as caring, loving human beings, and you continually show me that. Connie and Ro affected both of you the way they saw you. To call these two young men hippies with the mental image of whatever that means to you will be all that you see. You have been influenced by others. Is that the way you want to live? Jay, no, Mom, it's as though when you were talking, I could feel what you were saying from the saying consciousness. Wow. Matt, the same happened to me, Jay and Mom. Do you both get it then? Both of them said yes. Yes. Freed from labels, they ran outside to engage in conversation with the two new people who had moved into the park. David was called a hippie. Faced with the decision of David made me remember how prepared the boys were to receive him without labels. David came to live with us. Jay, Matt, JoJo, and Gina, as well as Benny and I, were grateful to have him. We were comfortable with him, and he was comfortable with us. A good beginning. His gentle manner was appreciated. He felt accepted. Often people are accepted, but they don't feel it, know it, and show it. He did. A blessing for all of us. The school year had just begun. JoJo would be in first grade in the elementary school this year, and she was excited about it. Jay was in the fifth grade, and Matt was in the third grade. David was a sophomore in high school. We were home and a friend brought a couple to our house. We meditated together. After the meditation, the woman said, Benny, when you meditate, you look just like Yogananda. Mm-hmm. Who is Yogananda? A yogi who wrote his autobiography. You need to buy it and read it. When you see the cover of the book, you'll understand the resemblance I saw. We did buy the book. There was a resemblance when Benny was meditating. Yogananda's vocabulary enthralled me. His writing gave me new insight into the life of Jesus. The bright, broad spectrum of footnotes captured my attention because of the depth of clarity and understanding in them. He added another layer and level to the way we were living. David came home from school and headed for the laundry drawer in the living dining room. He placed the shirt in the drawer. David, I saw you in a circle of friends in someone's house sharing totes of marijuana. David was at a loss for words. He grinned. How in the world did you know that? Are you psychic or something? No. The people I care about are always within my inner vision. I am alerted when some attention is called for. It comes from deep care, David. Wow, I haven't been busted by anything like this before. And you're so calm. How do you do that? David, I want you to know that you are seen and you are loved. This is your life I am speaking of to you. Come, sit down. When you go to school, what are you working on? We modeled a village, and it's all about serfs and the lords that held them in serfdom. I dislike school. I see no use for it. And how did you know I skip school sometime? What was the first year of school like, David? You mean kindergarten? Yes. My parents were fighting and talking about divorce. When I left for school, my stomach was tied in knots. I cried when they left me there because I didn't know if they would come get me. Every day was the same, fighting, arguing, threatening to leave, separate, divorce. I couldn't think straight. School kept me from knowing what I needed to know. Were they still together? Did they leave each other? Would they leave me? David, can you see that your dislike of school wasn't your natural way? You are sensitive to what others say and do. Stop to consider what you need. What do you need to do for you? I don't ask myself these questions. I will. I need to. Thank you. You are welcome, David. Gina is waking from her nap. Great timing, Gina. The children say she has radar, and I think they're right. I went into Gina's bedroom to greet her. The children will be home soon. Are you ready for them?
Yes.
Let's go. I picked her up and brought her into the kitchen. She lit up when she saw David. Did you see her face, David? I sure did. Talk about love and feeling welcome. I love you too, Gina. I put her in her high chair just in time for Jay, Matt, and JoJo to open the door and walk in. Snack time! At dinner, David opened up. I'm interested in learning how to scuba dive, Benny. You scuba dive. Could you teach me? David, I'm not certified to teach, but I know someone who is. There's a lot to learn for safety purposes. Are you willing to study and stay on course and finish the course? Yes, I've wanted to learn this for a very long time. I will study and stay with it. Good. We'll go together to see the teacher and enroll you on Saturday. Thanks, Benny. I'm excited. Connie had arrived. That's Benny's mother. She came to Florida in October and stayed with us until April. I had to cook for 8 people and adjust to having a teenage boy at the table. He was a good eater, as were the rest of us. I did it through trial and error, with gratitude that everyone was with me and didn't complain, but willing to give me suggestions, pointers, and new ideas for possible additions to the meal. The way we lived was democratic. Everyone had a voice and was encouraged to use it. JoJo celebrated her birthday. She received a beautiful bicycle. She was ecstatic. Benny and I went outside with her to be on either side of her as she pedaled the bike. She wasn't getting it. David came outside. He touched the back of the seat, moving with her, and she took off. Okay, it's that easy, huh? David, you have the dynamic of bike riding down to a science. You made it look so easy. Thanks. I had practice with my little brothers. After JoJo's first trip on bike, she was in heaven.
Yeah, now I get to ride with my brothers. Woohoo! This is the best birthday ever.
You bet. The next day,
Beverly. Luckily, a colored girl in my grade bothers me every day. I don't like it. You go talk to her, Mom.
Jay, what color is she?
You know.
When you talk about a white person, do you say they are white?
No.
Then why do you say Beverly is colored? Listen to Jay. It's important to see people, not skin color. Mm-hmm. And Jojo, I happen to think that brown skin is beautiful. Is it possible for you to see it that way? What do you need to say to her?
I ask her to stop, but she doesn't listen.
Jojo, you see people's hearts, right?
Yes.
Tomorrow, when you go to school, look at her beautiful brown skin and into Beverly's heart. When you come home from school, you can tell me what you saw. Will you do that?
Yes, Mom, I will.
The next afternoon.
Beverly's heart's the same as ours.
Did that surprise you?
Yes.
But each day she complained about Beverly. At the beginning of November, there was an open house at school. We could visit the classrooms of each of our children. I went to school with Gina. I was carrying her in my arms when we entered Jojo's classroom. Gina wanted me to take her to this little girl. It was Beverly. She reached out and hugged Beverly. Gina didn't hug anyone. She was the only one of my children who never hugged. Here she was, the ambassador of hugging. That afternoon, Beverly, a boy from Jay's class and a boy from Matt's class, showed up at my door. Jay, Matt, and Lisa aren't here yet. Do you want to wait for them? I wondered how they knew where we lived. No, we came to see Gina. Gina was in her big playpen in the kitchen. They came in and greeted Gina. Each of them had to touch her. I stood back. I watched in amazement by her feeling close to her the way they did. It was evident in their eyes, their movements, and their need to touch her. She was accepting of them. The whole happening was mysterious. She appeared to be a mystery to them, one that was familiar and unfamiliar at the same time. She looked the same, but she wasn't the same. Her hair was different. Her skin color was different. But she was the same. They had to uncover the mystery, and they made me want to do the same. When Jay, Matt, and Jojo walked in the door, Jay, how did you get here so fast? Do you want to play? No, we came to see your sister. We're going now. Come on. The three children trooped out of the house, waving goodbye to Gina. She waved back at them. David started to study the same books Benny had studied before he took the scuba diving test to be certified. I knew them well. Benny and I sat across the table from each other, and he repeated what he would be tested on to make it part of him. I felt like I could have taken the test with him and passed it as well. Loving language the way I do, it was easy reading. David was baffled by the many long words and the meanings. It appeared that he had bit off more than he could chew. It turned out he couldn't read well. His struggle was written on his face. I was silent and allowed him the time to consider if he wanted to talk or not. Gina's 1 year old birthday arrived. She wasn't walking, but she was eating. The birthday cake was a big hit with her. She liked the party as much as she had enjoyed Jojo's party. She learned how to open gifts by watching Jojo. Gina was a quick study, and she already had a lot of little friends. They had come by earlier to wish her a happy birthday and left. I asked them if they wanted some birthday cake, but no, they had to go home. The bread store was across the highway. Gina and I went there in the park truck. There were no seat belts, and she sat close to me on the front seat. Men and women came over to the passenger side of the truck to see Gina. I said, "Hello," and they would nod to me, but they were seeing Gina in a way that was a puzzle to me. Mm-hmm. The mystery continued. I wanted to understand the magic Gina had within her. Mm-hmm. Each time we went to the bread store, this happened. It was always different people of different ages, shapes, and sizes, adding to the puzzle. The children still came sporadically, and sometimes they stayed outside with Jay, Matt, and JoJo to talk and play. But mostly, after their visit with Gina, they left. Well, Gina was in her playpen. Benny was across the dirt road, mowing the grass. Someone had left the kitchen door open. Gina was looking at Benny. She walked across the playpen to get a closer look. She hadn't seen such a sight, and she forgot herself completely. She was walking.
Yay!
David came home in the afternoon. He plunked himself down on a chair in the kitchen and declared, "You really messed me up. You gave me a conscience. I can't skip school anymore."
"I did all that?"
"Yeah." "Hey, did you ever hear of Led Zeppelin?"
"Yes."
"Why?" "I have this record. Can I play it on the stereo for you?"
"Okay, let me hear it."
The minute Gina heard it, she woke up dancing in her crib. She did like to dance. I brought her into the kitchen. She danced in her playpen, and David came into the kitchen and danced with her without picking her up. They were laughing and dancing when Jay, Matt, and JoJo came home from school. Mm-hmm. We had a rocking and rolling afternoon together. Who cared about snacks when dancing was such fun? Oh, well, we all did. We ate our snacks to the tune of Led Zeppelin. David said to us, "I wanted to learn how to scuba dive. I didn't want to learn it from a book. I wanted to learn it in the water. Whenever I wanted to learn something in nature, I walked into the woods, sat down at the base of a tree, and daydreamed. When I wanted to learn about herbs, I picked them and ate them. When I needed to learn how to swim, I went swimming. I learned none of these things from a book. Why do I have to learn to scuba dive from a book that I can't even begin to understand, with words that aren't even necessary to anyone's vocabulary? It's a waste." "What do you want to do, David?"
"I want to quit. That's what I want to do."
"Have you talked to Benny about this?"
"Not yet. I will when I see him. I suggest you ask him at dinner if the two of you can talk a few minutes after dinner."
"I will. Thanks." An unspoken way to live in our family was that whatever we began, we would allow the flow to carry it and us to completion. I didn't feed the ego of anyone in our family. The creative still place within is active and alive when we let it be what it is intended to be. Mm-hmm. Only seeing behavior is a double-edged sword. Behavior is a symptom of a disruption inside that acts out in a reactive way. To understand and speak to the innermost sacred space inside allows the person to rise into the universal solvent, love. The speed with which this happens is beyond what anyone could ever imagine. Love, light, truth, and the universal flow of peace proves to be alive and well. What I knew in my heart and soul that I was here was that I was here to be awake and aware of who I am
and not try to change anything else, anyone else. What I learned is being truthful with myself did change one or many persons at once. Speaking to the inner being in me and any me that I encountered was the spirit of change. The talk Benny and David engaged in didn't go well. Benny was trying to change David. The way we live as a family was guided by me. Benny was not conscious of being conscious of the tone I set that all of us lived in and from and by. He appreciated it, but he was not conscious of being conscious of what it was and the way it worked. With David living with us, I began to see a change in Benny. He wasn't listening to me as he had done with our children. In his eyes, David said he would study and complete the course. Now he was reneging, and that wasn't the deal. David wasn't our son. He had been raised differently from our children. He didn't read well. He didn't understand the course. In Benny's eyes, David needed to be called to finish this course. It could change the course of his life. Except there was naivete in Benny's desire for David. David had a genuine belief in doing everything naturally without book learning. Who was right? Who was wrong? It wasn't a case of right or wrong. It was having an awakened awareness of who each of them are in their values. Understanding they may never be able to agree, but could they still value each other? The answer was no. David began to see Benny as controlling. He called him the landlord and himself the serf to Benny because Benny had asked him to paint some cottages. He did not intend to pay David for the work. Each of them wrote the other out of their lives. David left after Christmas. David talked to Jay, Matt, JoJo, Gina, and me. Thank you for your kindness. This is the first time I have been with a real family. It was good for me. Christmas was joyful and fun. I never had a happy Christmas until this one. I will remember all of you, always. We hugged and David left. What David was referring to was this. David, Gina, JoJo, Jay, Matt, and I sat on the carpet in front of the Christmas tree and sang Christmas carols. Connie sat in a chair and watched and listened. It was a precious moment. Mm-hmm. We ate her favorite famous pizza. Laughter rang through the house. Happiness creates a glow that cannot be dissipated. Mm-hmm. The whole Christmas season, including Christmas morning, was filled with rays of light and pure love. There was no mistaking the grace and blessings poured upon us. Well, what happened in the following year is that on my birthday, there was a knock on the door. I went to answer, and it was David. And he had an angel food cake that he had asked his mother to make for me. Oh, I was so touched. And he didn't want to stay. He just wanted to let me know he cared about me, and he made sure he could come and give this to me for my birthday. Oh, thank you, David. Wherever you are, thank you. We were blessed in grace with your presence.
Yes, we were. Sweet young man. Yep. On that note, it is time for us to have a break.
Okay.
So please stay with us, because on the
do we other... get a snack?
Not today. Maybe afterwards.
Oh well, I had to drive.
Yeah, why not? So when we come back from break, we will be speaking on and in and from and by all that Julie just read to us and shared with us. Stay with us.
And more.
Yes, stay with us. We'll see you soon.
In body, in power, in soul. Activate the spirit within you in deep conversations of power, faith, grace, love, and forgiveness. On Soul Inspired Reflections, Ascension, a humble awakening of the heart. Join me, your host, Gina Libido, every second Wednesday at 10 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. And find that even the chaos of your world makes sense and has meaning and purpose. Make a choice, be inspired, take action. For more information, go to soulinspired.org. That's soul-inspired.org.
It's time to tap into your divine self through angelic guidance. Join your host, Cindy Smith, and co-hosts in The Angel Empowerment Show from I Can't to I Can, airing every Monday, 6 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Learn from four of the best angel empowerment practitioners in the field. Together, they will share experiential teachings and offer live, on-air professional angel card readings and much more. For more information, visit CindySmithAEP.com.
Hey you! Have the bumps in life's road taken away your passion, your fire, and your power? What would you do if you could take it all back? Tune in to The Take Back Show with Tiffany Watkins, strategies to take back your control. Tiffany has 25 years experience in business and leadership roles and will teach you how to grab a hold of your life and make it work for you. Streaming live every second and fourth Thursday at 2 p.m. Pacific on YouTube, Facebook, and TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Tune in to Maximum Resilience with me, Kelly Bazzani, your ally for addiction, the first Monday of each month at 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Join us and engage in this epic journey of how to own your power and change your perception of addiction while we revolutionize the approach that ensures mental health as we address a worldwide epidemic. Take the steps that lead you towards an incredible life of maximum resilience. We do recover. Visit MyResilienceCoach.com.
Tune in to the hit show, Us, Critical Conversations on the Challenges of Our Time, with me, Dr. Crystal Lee Crane, on TransformationTalkRadio.com, every fourth Wednesday at 3 p.m. Pacific. Listen while we focus on the intersections of truth and justice as we learn how to coexist, pushing our social transformation to the next level. Become true stewards of the justice that is needed in our world. Learn more at PreventionAgenda.org. That's PreventionAgenda.org.
Aloha, welcome back. You're listening to Spacious Unknowing Network, Sunshine for Your Soul. I'm JoJo Rose, here with Julie O. Rose. And today we're speaking on mysterious happenings with color and sound. And what you read to all of us on the first half of the show is so filled with that, mysterious happenings with color and sound.
Yeah. Never did understand the mystery, but if anybody does, please, I accept you responding to it because it's still a mystery to me. And she's grown and married and has children of her own. Yeah.
Yeah. So. Oh, you mean with Gina and
yeah,
the
with
children?
Gina. Yeah, yeah.
What they're
yeah, it's
they're...
still alive. And sound, I felt, was very much about David being truthful about being a nature boy, and how he framed it was so beautiful because he was a person who had that calmness and just intelligence that was not from book learning.
Yeah.
And it was so beautiful to me that someone, him, couldn't recognize that this was a good thing, because I'm sure he heard from everyone else it wasn't. And Benny was one of them. And, you know, what happened was he's calling David to be true to his word.
Yes.
Because David said, yes, he would do that. But that was before David had any clue what that course was about. Nobody, he didn't ask questions. We didn't ask him questions.
Yeah.
So what happened was what happened.
But I noticed soon after that Benny wasn't being true to his word. And that was, boom, wow. So, you know, life changes. People change. Life happens.
Yes, most definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it really shows the difference between people who label other people and people who don't label.
Exactly. And
you're so right with David. He was so sweet, but he did have a real calmness.
Yeah.
And he could recognize that in
you. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, he could really recognize
exactly.
that in you. And it was so nice to have him in our home.
Yeah.
And it was like having community.
It was.
And he was part of the family.
Yeah. He was only 16, so he wasn't that much older, but it was quite a bit. Jay was fifth grade. That's 9 or 10.
I was
fifth
six.
Grade is 10.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Or, yeah.
Yeah.
Usually. Not always.
Not always. No, that's true.
But yeah, so there was 6 years difference. There was 10 years between he and Gina.
Yeah.
So that was a big.
But the interesting thing is it didn't feel
no.
that way. It
no.
just, it was natural.
Yeah.
Like the way he learned naturally, that's how it felt having him in our home.
Oh, yeah. It was
it
easy.
It was natural and easy. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. There was so much love between all of us.
Yeah.
He fit so like right in.
Yeah, he did.
Didn't make any blips on the screen of life that were mm-hmm. difficult to handle or anything. And yeah. And, you know, you always have to be ready mm-hmm. for whatever may arise. Mm-hmm. And it was just all real easy.
Yeah. Yes.
And because he was so open, it was so easy to talk to him mm-hmm. when things happened that I had seen. And yet he was so open and willing.
Yeah.
And it just still tickles me.
I think there's a lot around that, though, that makes that true. Because you can meet up with someone, right? And don't feel that you have... When someone loves and cares deeply, the other person feels that.
Yeah.
So he was loving and kind, and so were you. And he felt that. And he felt, for lack of a better word, he felt safe. He knew he could be open with you. And it's true. You did set a really full tone of wholeness in the home.
Yeah. And he loved it. Mm-hmm. He obviously thrived on it, which was.
Yeah, he did.
Beautiful, because I don't try to change people. I'm just mm-hmm. here to listen, learn where they came from, what is moving them now, and really wanting to understand more than anything else. And they don't feel threatened or interrogated,
right?
Because I don't do that.
No, you don't.
And so it brings out the best in people, mm-hmm. and I don't plan on that. That's just the way I live. Ah, that's it. It's the way I live. No excuses for me.
No.
It's the way I live.
It is the way you live. And to me, that's the color and sound.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, there was so much in what you read of the dancing and the snack time and the bicycles and the birthdays and having fun with Gina saying eat as her first word.
Yeah.
Walking across the playpen, and there was always sound too, always.
Yeah, and
understanding.
Right, and when you came home and introduced color that way, I was so thankful that Jay said what he did to you, because I never know exactly how any of your children have taken on and mm-hmm. taken in what goes on, and it was such a that was touching, and then. You were having a struggle with all of it.
I was.
But the wild part about that is, who knew my taking Gina to school was going to change all of it?
Yeah.
And she ended up coming to our house to visit Gina, not you.
Yeah. Yes.
And the two boys that were from Matt and Jay's class. So you just never know what's going to occur that would move mountains, because that was a mountain to you, the way Beverly treated you.
Yeah, it was.
And I knew that, but there was something for you to learn.
Oh,
and I had to leave it for you to learn and ask you to, you know, I had questions for you and for you to explore.
Yeah.
But when you learn from your own self, you retain it better.
Yes.
Yeah.
Stays with you.
Yeah.
It really stays with you. Yes.
Sure does. For a lifetime. So that's a good thing.
Yeah. And all you're speaking of really is the spacious unknowing, because that's everything. That's the way that you were in each of these happenings, not knowing and leaving the space for Jay to come in and say what he said to me.
Well, that, like I say, that was like a gift, because I never know what each of you have absorbed or how you see life until you speak it. And there's always something that turns up that makes one or more of you speak it. And that's what also is, it just takes a good listener to hear it.
Yeah.
And that's really, for me, was the most important part of my life, to be a good listener. And yeah.
Yeah, and I recently came to recognize that, you know, we've spoken often of the tone being set in the home, and the mother does that. And I recently came to realize how many tools for life you gave us in my childhood. Because for a long time, I walked away from it in so many ways. And recently, it was like, oh, she did give us tools, because we've spoken on that. And, you know, communication and listening. Listening to each other and sharing with
listening
each other.
First.
Yeah,
because if someone cannot or will not listen in, it's an easy segue if you're listening in to be able to listen to another being. But if you're not listening here, that's sort of impossible, you know?
Yeah.
You listen to the words. You don't listen in consciousness. Oh, God, that's such a difference. In consciousness, you hear their heartbeat. In just words, it's oftentimes not worth listening to. And even, you know, children listen in consciousness. And parents don't. A lot of parents don't understand that, and they don't hear what the child is saying. And even I can meet children who speak, you know, children language, and I know what they're saying.
Yeah.
But I know it from consciousness, not from the words they're speaking.
Yes.
And it is such fun. And they look at me like, oh, yes, I knew you would know. Oh, yes, I knew you would know. That's so cute.
It is cute.
I just love to see their big smiley faces and how sweet.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So.
Well, and you set that tone. And because you listened in and listened to us, we really learned that by being with you, the listening in.
Yeah. I'm not sure it's learning. I think it's taking it on. I think it's being in a vibration that is so integral in our home to each person who walked in, let alone the ones who lived there, that it was an easy segue for each person to have that vibe and enjoy and appreciate that vibe.
Yeah.
And at that time of the years, there were a lot of people in our culture that listened, and there were a lot of people in our culture that were very loving and kind, and all the mothers prayed for their children, and you could tell.
Yeah,
you could tell. It was just so different.
Yes.
And I'm not saying that that was right and now is wrong. I'm saying it's very, very different. And
It's a different world. Mm-hmm. So because everyone came to that area in Florida from different places and mm-hmm. came for a purpose to be in the space programs
yes.
with wherever they fit. Mm-hmm. And there were women and men, and it was wonderful. It just was wonderful. We had a poetry club that we met once a month. Mm-hmm. And it was delightful because we had musicians, poets, writers, artists, and it was
community.
Yeah, there were a lot of people, and it kept being added too. And we had it in our home. Didn't matter. We all made room.
Yeah, I was just gonna say we had community in our home.
Yeah,
and then David was added to that, and the children in the park were added
yeah.
to that with different things that we were in with them
yeah.
and then school for each one of us
yeah.
and you were in with the school as well and
yeah
the and poetry
Head Start.
Club and
yeah.
Heads, yeah so many
I was a volunteer at Head Start yeah love those kids
so many happenings
yeah so what I love today is that there are so many people who understand community and the purpose of it and mm-hmm. know they need it mm-hmm. and the value of it is so rich.
Yeah.
It can never be. I mean, for me, I have to have me.
Yes.
And know me to be part of a community. And the ones who do that mm-hmm. are much more capable of being interdependent.
Yes.
And really, we can be dependent in terms of whatever our needs may have been as a child. We can be independent to learn how to grow up. Interdependent is so rich and beautiful and wonderful. And we had a lot of that. We had a lot of all of it.
Yeah, we did.
And it's necessary. Intergenerational, I mean, all kinds of things. And that's what I know allows people to thrive.
Yeah. Yes, it was a wonderful and beautiful childhood for all of those reasons, and the love and the care and listening and really allowing the soul to be very alive in each one of us.
Yeah. It's all good.
It is all good. Most definitely. Yes.
Yeah.
It's all important. Very important. So you haven't had any inkling as to why those young children were so.
Well, yeah, they obviously were connected with her as though she were a brown child. Mm-hmm. And they were very connected with her, as were a lot of the people where I went that were adults.
Yes.
And yet she did not look at all that way. But there was something, I don't know what it was, but I'd like to know, mm-hmm. that she had inside soul, I would imagine.
Yeah.
Soul. I think they saw her soul. And she was most unusual.
Yes, she was.
I called her truth. You know, each one of you. I decided Jay was knowledge because when he was 5 or 6, he'd read. Oh my God, he'd get books and read them. And Benny and I, you know, he did it so fast. We were in the car one day and said, Jay, could you tell us about the book you just read? Loch Ness Monster was his choice. Oh my God, he gave us a whole dissertation because he'd read so many of the books to learn about it. It's okay. All right, Jay. And then once he was acting like a monster at kindergarten, and the teachers talked to him, Benny and I talked to him, nothing got through to him. And I thought, well, Jay is very intelligent inside. I'm asking him right now to have a dream or have something that talks to him in his own being, mm-hmm. so that he would understand
yes.
what we're trying to say to him. Sure enough, he had a dream. In the dream, he saw a monster
and was frightened to, you know, and he got it, woke up in the morning, came in the kitchen, said to me, "Mom, I had a dream." And he told me about it. And I said, "Well, Jay, who was teaching you in the dream?" "Gabriel." And he walked into his bedroom to get dressed for school. It was like nothing. It was okay. He just learned what he needed to learn. That was what was important. I loved it. So I called him Knowledge, because whatever he read, he had a dictionary beside him. Mm-hmm. And he would look up any word that he did not know. Well, I was an avid reader, and I'd never done that. So it was like, I'm paying attention. I'm going to start doing that. So I called him Knowledge.
Yes.
And then Matt, when he came along, we lived in Boston, of course, yes, when Jay, Matt, and you were born. And Matt had his own kind of intelligence. And Mike, his uncle Mike, who was married to his Rosemary, Auntie Ro, thought children were only could be programmed. They did not have any intelligence of their own, which I knew very differently.
Yes.
For my own life. Yes. And then of you children. And so, and all children I ever met. And so I just looked askance at him. I couldn't even, he was a graduate. Cum laude, magnum cum laude. It was like, hello. Oh, anyway, we were at the table one evening, and after dinner, Mike got out some coins and put them on the table and said, "Matt, how many coins are here?" Matt counted them. He was two. And Mike went, "Oh, well, somebody must have taught you that." And he put more. No matter how many he put, Matt could count them.
Yeah.
And he said, "How did you learn that, Matt?" Matt said, "I didn't learn that. It's just easy." Like, what's the matter with you, Mike? And so that was that. And that happened again to Matt when we met a couple.
Yes.
Nino and Linda. Mm-hmm. And Nino talked like Mike had spoken.
Yes.
That children didn't have any intelligence of their own, they were programmed. And so he had two children. I thought, God, this man has got to learn now.
Yeah.
Yes. Linda was a love. And so Matt, he came to lunch one day, sat beside Matt. And while Matt was eating, he said, "Matt, yesterday I was eating a sandwich and I got a headache. What caused that headache?" And Matt looked him in the eye and said, "It wasn't what you were eating. It was what you were thinking, Nino." Matt was seven. And Nino went, "You are right, Matt." So that undid him too.
Yes.
I think he changed his tune after that. So it was always fun to just know that they were allowed to speak to adults, to children, to anyone, everyone.
Yes.
With you, people would come up to me and say, "She knows no strangers." Well, I had to ponder that. What in the world were they saying? Mm-hmm. I couldn't get it. And then I got it and went, yeah, that's true, because that's where the way we raise them is to be aware, awake.
Yeah.
And loving their life and being in it.
Yes.
So, each of you had your own way. So, Matt, I called wisdom.
Yes.
And then when you came along, and for me, I had to understand so much being with you that I felt that you were my understanding. Mm-hmm. And it came, you know, it always came to me. So I was always thankful for that. And then when Gina came, the way she was, 6 months old, and I'm changing her diaper and I'm working on a song, and I couldn't get the next bar, and she hummed it.
Okay, thank you. Mm-hmm. So to me, she was truth.
Yes.
So that is how I saw all of you. Mm-hmm. And it was really true to have a way to understand something that was happening every day in our lives.
Yeah.
And realize what I was learning from each of you. Mm-hmm. And put it all together, and that's a pretty nice way to learn.
Yeah, it sure is.
And it's fun because it's really allowing each of you to be who you came here to be, not getting programmed in. And that was very important to me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm very grateful.
Me too.
Once again, thank you for sharing and reading from excerpts from your book, My Radical Life in Spacious Unknowing.
Yeah, and the radical sometimes is really radical, and sometimes it's just simple.
Yes.
Like with David, that was to me very simple. But it was radical.
Yes. Well, once again...
Oh, you know, you're not going to tell me that.
Yes.
It's over?
It's over.
Oh, all right. Well, you did tell me that.
Yes, I did. We told each other.
Yes.
We are thankful that you have been with us today. Enjoy the rest of your day or evening, and may your week be blessed and graced with joy and thanksgiving. We'll see you next Monday.
Right here. Have fun.
Have fun. Yes. And aloha.
Thank you for listening to the Spacious Unknowing Network. Sunshine for your soul.
With Julie O.
and JoJo Rose.
Join
us again for life-affirming communication every Monday at 7 p.m. Pacific time on TransformationTalkRadio.com
so that you can bask in the rays of infinite love.
Access Soul Rhythm to tap into your real being for your heartbeat in the rhythm of your soul.
Feel it guide you to new horizons and unlimited infinite love. For more information about Julio
and JoJo Rose, visit spaciousunknowingnetwork.com. That's spaciousunknowingnetwork.com.
The views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.